Well, hello, this is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from a number of sources, the Associated Press, Reuters, Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal, the business section of the News Observer and the Triangle Business Journal. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, the stock market roared back yesterday. The Dow Jones closed up 617.70 to close at 25,366.43, just a little above what it was January 1 of this year. The S&P 500 went up 61.62 to close at 2743.79. The New York Stock Exchange was up 229.56 to close at 12,417.63. The NASDAQ was up 208.89 to close at 7291.59. Gold was up a dollar to close at $1,212.20, and crude oil was up $1.27 a barrel to close at $50.29. Well, the markets did soar on the Federal Reserve Chairman's interest in the rate comments. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell on Wednesday suggested the central bank could be close to slowing down the pace of its recent interest rate increases, saying rates are now just slightly below what he considers a neutral level. His comments marked a sharp change from his position last month when he said the Fed still had a long way to go before it reached that equilibrium. U.S. stock markets soared on Powell's comments as he appeared to signal that the Fed would not move forward aggressively to raise rates much further than it already has. The Dow Jones Industrial Average pushed up 618 points. I think I mentioned that. The Standard & Poor's is up. Though Powell's comments were markedly different from his characterization of Fed policy last month, he left ample room for the Fed to continue raising rates, depending on the economy's performance. Investors have overreacted to relatively nuanced comments from Powell in the past, and it is possible some misread his comments by believing he was telegraphing an end to interest rate increases by saying rates were slightly lower than the level he perceives as neutral. Powell's statement appears to be suggesting at least one more interest rate increase is coming in the near future. Well, after years of becoming more Raleigh-centric, Advanced Auto Parts has officially made the city of Raleigh its corporate headquarters, but only after receiving a $12 million incentive package from the state and local governments. On Wednesday morning, the State Economic Investment Committee approved the incentives for the publicly traded Auto Parts retailer. Company officials then joined Governor Roy Cooper at the Capitol to make the announcement shortly before 10 a.m. In addition to moving its corporate headquarters from Roanoke, Virginia, to Raleigh, the company plans to invest $5.5 million here and create 435 new jobs over a period of 5 years. The average annual wage for these jobs will be $106,000. The average annual wage in Wake County at this time is $56,245. Those 435 new jobs are going to be heavily focused on technology, with the company ramping up its digital marketing and software staffs to better compete for online shoppers. About 70% of the purchases in our category start on a mobile device, so whether or not they are walking through the swinging doors or ordering online, we need to win in that space, so said Tom Greco, Advanced Auto's CEO, he said in an interview Wednesday after the announcement. Talent availability is absolutely the number one driver of our decision, Greco added. You have to have access to software developers, software engineers. All those areas are very important. We have a great talent pool in Raleigh to do that work. Now, the 435 jobs will be based at the company's corporate campus on Millbrook Road and in the Duke Energy Tower in downtown Raleigh, where its digital marketing team is located. The company must meet hiring and investment goals to receive any incentive funds. This is the incentives breakdown: $9.4 million job development grant from the state, $500,000 from the city of Raleigh, $88,000 from Wake County, and $370,000 from Capital Area Workforce Development. Now, because Wake County is considered a Tier 3 county, the Department of Commerce will pay up to $3.1 million into the state's Industrial Development Fund's utility account. The utility account helps rural counties fund infrastructure projects. Advanced Auto Parts officials said the company was looking at both Henrico, Virginia, and India for its relocation and expansion. It was a competitive process, and Virginia participated, and that was a factor in North Carolina needing to offer incentives, Greco said. However, the company has steadily become more Raleigh-focused, expanding functions and moving employees here since 2014, when it acquired the Raleigh-based competitor General Parts for $2 billion. Pardon me. Advanced still has around 600 employees in Roanoke, mainly in customer support, and there will be no expected cuts there. In 2017, Greco and a majority of Advanced Auto's leadership team relocated to Raleigh. The executive team all received thousands of dollars in relocation benefits from Advanced Auto, according to documents filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Excuse me again, please. Now, this is the second time the state has given Advanced Auto an incentives package. In 2014, the company was awarded more than $17 million shortly after it acquired General Parts. At that time, Advanced Auto said it would create 600 new jobs in North Carolina. The company is still responsible for meeting hiring and investment requirements from that 2014 agreement. A majority of those 600 jobs, however, weren't exactly new. Rather, they were workers that were already employed by General Parts, according to the News Observer. Now, Governor Cooper said in an interview that incentives were necessary to keep Advance in Raleigh. Incentives were necessary to make it happen, Cooper added. Look, they had other choices. We feel good about the package we presented and feel positive that they made this choice. Attracting headquarter projects to North Carolina has become an increasing priority for the state's economic development arm. The state has narrowly missed out on several projects in recent years. Currently, the state legislature is considering a bill that would more than double the amount of incentives that the state can offer to companies. Though Advance's deal was done under current incentive framework and will not be eligible for any increases the state might pass. Cooper said he supported increasing the amount of incentives the state can offer. He goes on to say there are other efforts out there we believe will affect. We are looking forward to attracting more companies and maybe even more corporate headquarters to North Carolina. When asked whether Apple was still looking at the state, Cooper declined to comment. He said, I can't talk about economic development projects, but we are going to continue to work to attract all kinds of companies and particularly tech companies that are on the West Coast. He says, we are a center for technology and for biotech in North Carolina, and those kinds of companies are ripe for working in North Carolina. Well, locally, from the News and Observer, the ex-register of deeds sues to keep her pension. Laura Riddick, the former Wake County register of deeds who pleaded guilty to stealing more than $926,000 while in office, is suing North Carolina to keep her pension. The state, her attorney argues, exceeded its authority and acted in error when it ordered $126,290 in pension payments since her retirement be repaid to the state. That's according to the court petition. Despite pleading guilty to 6 counts of embezzlement on August 24, Riddick was still able to receive $89,000 a year from the state's pension system. Shortly afterward, State Treasurer Dale Folwell said he planned to apply state law to stop her pension payments. Unfortunately, public servants who place their left hand on the Bible and raise their right hand to uphold the Constitution and laws of North Carolina have been and are being convicted of crimes while in their public service duties. He says, it happens with Democrats and Republicans across the state. We wish it did not happen, but when it does, we will go in and remove the pension service during the time the person was convicted of. The lawsuit claims the state erroneously determined Riddick no longer qualified for retirement and had to return the $126,000 in retirement benefits to the state. She's also suing Falwell, Stephen Toole, Director of Retirement Systems Division, and the North Carolina Retirement System Commission Board of Trustees. Investigators believe a total of $2.3 million went missing from the Register of Deeds office between 2008 and 17. In October, Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman said nearly all the money had been recovered from the company's insurance or the defendants. Well, on a national level, General Motors slashing more than 14,000 jobs in North America. General Motors said Monday that it planned to idle 5 factories in North America and cut more than 14,000 blue-collar and salaried jobs in a bid to trim costs. The action follows similar job-cutting moves by Ford in the face of slowing sales and a shift in consumer tastes, driven in part by low gasoline prices. The 5 GM plants will halt production next year, resulting in the layoff of 3,300 production workers in the United States and about 3,000 in Canada. The company also aims to trim its salaried staff by 8,000. We are taking this action now while the company and the economy are strong to keep ahead of changing market conditions, so said Mary Barra, General Motors chief executive. The plants include 3 car factories, one in Lordstown, Ohio, that makes the Chevrolet Cruze, the Detroit Hantramck plant, where the Chevrolet Volt, Buick LaCrosse, and Cadillac CT6 are produced, and a plant in Oshawa, Ontario, which primarily makes the Chevrolet Impala. In addition, the company will halt operations at transmission plants in the Baltimore area and in Warren, Michigan. Some of the affected plants could resume production depending on the outcome of contract negotiations with United Auto Workers next year. Well, the European Union endorses terms for a Brexit divorce. That is the deal. This is from the New York Times. More than 4 decades after Britain tied itself to its continental neighbors, Prime Minister Theresa May obtained the approval on Sunday of the other 27 EU members on a formal divorce pact from the bloc, a consequential step intended to take the country on a new, if unclear, path. The journey has been long and tortuous for both sides, and the drama is hardly over. May must still get approval for the deal, for the deal a dense, legally binding divorce settlement and a set of political promises for Britain's future relationship with the bloc. Since Britain's voted in 2016 to leave the European Union, May has struggled to determine how closely they should remain tied to the continental Europe, ultimately choosing a kind of middle way that has left many dissatisfied. Now, with our own Conservative Party deeply divided and the opposition Labour Party promising to vote the deal down, May faces what most consider to be an almost impossible task. But she is dogged, and with Britain scheduled to leave the European Union on March 29, she appears to be relying on giving legislators a stark choice, and that is her deal or a chaotic exit without any deal. If she fails, May could face a leadership challenge or be left to put her deal to a second vote in Parliament. There could be a push for a softer Brexit, new elections, or a second referendum. Or Britain could lurch toward a no-deal Brexit. In an open letter to The Nation, May said she would campaign heart and soul to get the deal approved. Speaking in Brussels on Sunday, she added that the British people don't want to spend any more time arguing about Brexit, and that her agreement would allow Britons to come together again as a country. Well, North Carolina seafood farmers face a decision over rebuilding. After Hurricane Florence, bags of dead oysters hung in the trees near Jimmy Morris's oyster farm and hatchery. Florence ransacked his Morris family shellfish farms in Sea Level, just north of Beaufort and Moorhead City. Pummeling winds, historic flooding, and power outages killed a year's worth of shellfish seed, the early stage for 10 million oysters and 5 million clams, plus the better part of 1,000 cages of market oysters. There were oysters everywhere, Morris said, after the storm. Florence hit North Carolina in September as a Category 1 hurricane, then stopped and stalled for days on the coast as it dumped trillions of gallons of rain. The rush of freshwater chased off fish, killed millions of oysters, and crippled an industry still taking stock of its losses. It was a major blow to the industry, said Chuck Wyrick, who's a marine aquaculture specialist with North Carolina Sea Grant. He said that in an interview in October and went on to say, this has affected the industry statewide. Some farms are really decimated and others are partially hit. Now, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper's office estimates the storm caused upward of $17 billion in damage throughout the state, up from an initial estimate of $13 billion. That's according to previous News and Observer reports. Nearly half of that might be covered by government assistance or insurance, the state reports. In the weeks after the storm, Wyrick estimated shellfish losses around $5 million, including oysters, clams, and infrastructure. That's a figure he expects will end up surpassing the $5.5 million the oyster industry bought in last year, according to the state's annual fisheries bulletin. It's a slim but increasingly prominent part of a billion-dollar coastal economy. Well, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos said Tuesday that ballooning student debt has caused a crisis in higher education and that the traditional path to college might not be the best choice for all students. DeVos made the comments in Atlanta at a training conference for the Education Department's Federal Student Aid Division, which oversees student loans awarded by the federal government. The department released a text of her remarks. She goes on to say, our higher education system is the envy of the world, but if we as a country do not make important policy changes in the way we distribute, administer, and manage federal student loans, the program on which so many students rely will be in serious jeopardy. DeVos said the federal government holds $1.5 trillion in outstanding student loans. That's a threefold increase from 2007 and a $500 billion increase from 2013. She said federal student aid's loan portfolio now accounts for nearly 10% of America's national debt. Well, General Motors says job cuts free up more money from innovation. This is an additional story from the Business Section of the News Observer. I'll try not to make it too redundant. Since even though unemployment is low, the economy is growing, and United States auto sales are near historic highs, General Motors is cutting thousands of jobs on a major restructuring aimed at generating cash to spend on innovation. The GM layoffs come amid the backdrop of a trade war between U.S., China, and Europe that likely will lead to higher prices for imported vehicles and those exported from the United States. President Donald Trump, who had made bringing auto jobs back a big part of his appeal in Ohio and other Great Lakes states, said that that are crucial to his reelection, said his administration and lawmakers are exerting a lot of pressure on the CEO, Barra, headed for Washington after news broke to speak with White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow in what was described as a previously scheduled meeting. Trump said he was being tough on Barra, telling the company that the U.S. has done a lot for GM and that if cars aren't selling, the company needs to produce ones that will. At a rally near GM's Lordstown, Ohio plant last summer, Trump told people not to sell their homes because the jobs are all coming back. General Motors announced Monday that it will cut as many as 14,000 workers in North America. Well, speaking of incentive money, the Advance Auto, the North Carolina legislature wants to boost the incentive money. A bill introduced in the legislature Tuesday would boost the amount of money that the state could offer high-paying companies to locate or expand here. The bill would allow the Department of Commerce to offer companies up to $16,000 for every job created. Currently, the limit is $6,500 per job. It's one of several bills being considered during the General Assembly's current session. It says if you want to attract big companies, they are not going to come unless you offer incentives, big incentives, so said State Senator Jerry Tillman, a Republican from Randolph County, in an interview Tuesday afternoon. He goes on to say it's the game you have to play if you want to recruit business, especially big ones, who will do a big headquarters and change the whole dynamic of the city and the state. Tillman, who sponsored the bill, said the state needs to make these changes because of one to two companies that are considering adding 1,000 to 2,000 jobs in Wake and Mecklenburg counties. Other cities could take advantage of this in the future. Now, State Senator Paul Newton, a Republican from Cabarrus County and another sponsor of the bill, added that the per-job cap, which is part of the Job Development Investment Grant, that's the state's main incentive program, hasn't been changed since 2002 and was affecting the state's ability to bring high-paying job creators to the state. Excuse me. When you get a headquarters located in your state, he says, it becomes a center of gravity for that company. Benefits will flow to existing citizens of North Carolina, even without job creation, but jobs will be created where the corporate headquarters is. Tillman added that the $6,500 cap was put in place when top salaries were usually around $150,000 a year, but now the state is competing for headquarters where some executives will make more than $300,000. He says, we're just getting the ground set for whenever this takes place so that we can make the offer, Tillman said. He did say that the State Commerce Department, which manages the JDIG program, was on board with the changes. We collaborate closely with legislative leaders on many economic development issues and policies in order to keep North Carolina competitive in today's marketplace, Commerce Department spokesman David Rhodes said in an email. The department declined to comment further on pending legislation. Well, shoppers on track, this is from Bloomberg, on track to spend an estimated $7.8 billion on Cyber Monday. This was just passed. A record, boosting a strong holiday shopping season, and Wall Street seems to be mostly shrugging it off. Consumers dropped $531 million online as of 10 a.m. New York time, according to Adobe Inc., on track for about an 18% increase from a year ago. Top items included little live pets, animal dolls that kiss and lick, the Nintendo Switch, and Beats headphones. Even a blockbuster holiday won't divert the market's attention from rising interest rates next year and the escalating trade war between the U.S. and China that's expected to slow global economic growth. U.S. President Donald Trump in September imposed 10% tariffs on approximately $200 billion worth of Chinese imports and plans to raise the levy to 25% in January, which will drive prices higher. Now, fears about a consumer spending slowdown in 19 outweigh any positive signs of a strong holiday, said Tom Forte, analyst at D.A. Davidson & Company. Many of the tariffs will likely be borne by consumers in the second half of 19 in the form of higher prices on products. Goes on to say higher interest rates may dampen spending on big-ticket items. Companies like Amazon, Walmart, and Target that are fighting to win holiday spending online may not see a substantial payoff in terms of their market value. And some technical fumbles on Black Friday showed that traditional stores are still struggling to accommodate the hordes of internet shoppers. Even with substantial investments in technology, some retail giants, including Walmart, Lowe's, and Kohl's, confronted glitches and malfunctioning websites on Friday, a sign that they aren't keeping pace with the load of consumer switch to e-commerce. Amazon is projected to capture nearly half of all online spending this year, making it the biggest beneficiary of online spending growth. But even the world's largest online retailer has given investors reason to worry. Warehouse worker wage hikes announced in October could put a drag on the company's earnings in the holiday shopping period as well next year. So said Jitendra Warol, an analyst at Bloomberg. Amazon shares were up more than 4% on Monday, but remained down for the month. Yes, it will be a great Cyber Monday, but investors are looking beyond what happens over the holiday, he says. Well, from the Washington Post, President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping will meet in Buenos Aires later this week to confront perhaps the greatest threat to the weakening global economy, that is, each other. For the first time since Trump began raising tariffs on Chinese products in July, there is cautious optimism that the two leaders may reach at least a partial deal to defuse a trade conflict that is rattling investors and sapping economic activity around the world. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I do hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure and listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-781-1973.